I'm in pursuit of the Lord, I'm in pursuit in my mind, in pursuit of lost souls, so I stay on the grind. In pursuit of the Lord, I'm in pursuit in my mind, I'm in pursuit of lost souls, so I stay on the grind. I'm in pursuit of the Lord, I'm in pursuit in my mind, in pursuit of lost souls, so I stay on the grind. In pursuit of the Lord, I'm in pursuit in my mind, I'm in pursuit of lost souls, so I stay on the grind. For me to live is Christ, and if I die is gain. Just no fear in my eyes, I stand bold, I'm not ashamed. I've been through the fire, I even feel the pain. I witness his power, now I'm a witness of change. Now who I'm talking about? His name is Jesus. I ain't scared to say his name in my verse. He raised me out the hurt. The first shall be last, the last shall be first. When I was wilding in the mud, my spirit was dirt. And I was raised in the church and still strayed to the streets. Flirting with this sin got me laying between the sheets. Then death was conceived, my heart got deceived. So I'm looking for a way to sell crack to the fiend. I'm in pursuit of the Lord, I'm in pursuit in my mind, in pursuit of lost soul. Front line, no matter how big the wall, I'm still gonna climb the ladder, eternity inches tall. Until I get to heaven, I accept my call. Born ready to brawl, a threat to hell, that's why they wanna see me fall. I don't worship Baal, but I got some flaws, so I'm telling y'all, get your house in order, cause Jesus coming, dawg. This here a warning call, so I'm performing, don't wanna see your soul get lost. Jesus paid the price when he died on the cross. To have a plan for our life, to have a relation with Christ, to go to heaven, not hell, where the enemy dwell. Not Islam or Saddam, I'm talking about Satan. I'm in pursuit of the Lord, I'm in pursuit in my mind, in pursuit of lost souls, so I stay on the grind. In pursuit of the Lord, I'm in pursuit in my mind, I'm in pursuit of lost souls, so I stay on the grind. I'm in pursuit of the Lord, I'm in pursuit in my mind, in pursuit of lost souls, so I stay on the grind. In pursuit of the Lord, I'm in pursuit in my mind, I'm in pursuit of lost souls. Be told, revelation unfold. If you wise, you take hold to the message and soul. Better get on your souls and take heed to this flow. Jesus knocking at your door. Tell me what your future holds. Heaven or hell, where you choose to go. In these end times where brothers is dying, tell me what do you know. Open your eyes, you blind. You reject the Holy Ghost. If you seek, you'll find the Lord will love you the most. And stop wasting time doing things that's out of line. The Lord of hosts is who you need to find. So powerful that he could stop the hands of time. So I boast in the Lord, cause he freed my mind, he freed my mind. I'm in pursuit of the Lord, I'm in pursuit in my mind, in pursuit of lost souls, so I stay on the grind. In pursuit of the Lord, I'm in pursuit in my mind, I'm in pursuit of lost souls, so I stay on the grind. I'm in pursuit of the Lord, I'm in pursuit in my mind, in pursuit of lost souls, so I stay on the grind. In pursuit of the Lord, I'm in pursuit in my mind, I'm in the battlefield, I'm fighting and I'm ready to die for mine.
Good evening. Welcome to Kingdom of God Ministries. I just want to thank our listening audience for joining us tonight on this beautiful, blessed evening. Tonight we will be talking in reference to apostasy. And we know there is a lot going on in the churches, in the world today, a lot of deception. I am your host, Kathy Montgomery, with my husband, Minister Bobby Montgomery. Also, I just wanted to say our introduction record, introduction song was Real in Pursuit by Bobby Montgomery. And I wanted to also say if you would be joining us on October 7th, we will be having a live testimony from John Ramirez. He is telling his phenomenal testimony how God brought him out of darkness. He was into the occult. Into black magic, Santeria, Paulo Mayambe. He was into that for over 25 years, and he will be telling his expounding testimony how God delivered him and brought him out of that. I just wanted to make note also that we will be airing live on Thursdays and Fridays every week. So if you, you know, want to join and get some good, wholesome teaching, be sure to join us. And we will be, you know, discovering some truths in the Word, going to the Word. We will be directly out of the Bible. We don't take anything of ourselves. We just strictly go by the Word of God. So tonight, like I said, we will be coming out of the Bible. We will be teaching on apostasy. And on tomorrow, we will have a just a clip of a testimony of an ex-witch. And she is bringing out some of the, exposing some of the charismatic witchcraft in the church. So I think you would be interested to find out there's a lot of deception that's going on. So let's just get into the Word. First, we will open up with prayer, and then we will go as the Lord directs us. Father God, we just thank you tonight, Lord God. We thank you for giving us the opportunity to go out over the airwaves to proclaim your truth to people all over the world. Lord God, and we ask that you just word, just be with us, inspire us, word our mouth, Lord God. Let us only teach what you would have us to teach. Lord God, we come as humble servants. We come in love. We come to bring the full gospel to your people. And this we pray in Jesus' name. We bind up any hindrance spirits, anything that would try to come over the airways, any deceptive spirits, any blocking spirits, we cast you out. We bind you up right now in the name of Jesus, and we loose the ministering angels that what we say will go into the ears and penetrate the ears and will not fall on deaf ears. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I was coming today as we was driving into work. You know, and God, he'll just reveal things to you, you know, and we have been going over some forms of witchcraft and different things, and a lot of times people say, well, witchcraft, I'm not into witchcraft, but it's so subtle that it could be in things as far as like TV programs your children watch. We have to just be on guard because the Bible tells us our enemy is like a roaring lion. And he seek whom he may devour. So we have to be on guard and guard our hearts, our mind, guard our thoughts, our tongues, and just be careful because as we were driving in to work today, yeah, I have to work, sorry to say, been up since 5 o'clock, but praise God, we are just happy doing the work of the Lord. But anyway, we were driving in, and there was this Jeep. And as we were driving to work, Minister Bob, he said, look on the back of that Jeep. And on the back of the Jeep, the further we got away from it, you know how they have the wheel on the back of the Jeep? Well, there was a sign of a pentagram, but it was in the tire. And the closer you got, you could see that five-star pentagram. So when you get close, it wasn't as, you know, noticeable, but the further away you was, you could really see it. And God is just showing us that there is so many things that once your eyes become open, you begin to see different things. You begin to say, wow, I didn't know that. I didn't realize that. And a lot of it is just we just don't know because we haven't been taught. Or, you know, like I say, we may just be in a blindness. So let's just ask God to open our eyes to anything that is not like him, and we'll go from there. So like I said, we will be teaching on apostasy. And I looked up a few words, and some of the things going on in the churches or just in the world today is a seducing spirit. Well, if you would look in the word seducing means imposter, or misleader, deceiver. You know, the Bible, it often referred to Satan as the deceiver. Then you have seducers, a wizard, as muttering spells. 2 Timothy 3:13 says an imposter. So we have to be on guard against these type of magic and sorcery. And you would say, well, I don't do that. But when you talk about seducing spirits, that's how cunning it is, because it plays with your mind and it works with your mind and it casts a spell over you. And so you're sitting there and you're just mesmerized. Your eyes is not even open because you're not even aware of what's going on. That's why we have to be on guard. And the Lord was telling us that we have to watch and pray. And we have to watch our families. We have to pray over our families because, like I said, he is so subtle that your children may be watching a particular program. And if you would take notice, there may be connotations in that program with hidden messages or little things subtle. And I'm talking about Christian kids. Not, you know, you might say, well, not my children, but you have to be careful. Even a lot of movies, I had to repent of it. You know, we would be watching certain movies and then curse words and all this kind of stuff is going through the airwaves. And you have to pray about that stuff because what you don't realize, you're bringing that stuff into your home and you're saying, oh, it's just entertainment. Yeah, but what the word entertainment means, it means to enter. You letting this stuff enter into your home. So be careful. Be careful. This is not a condemnation over anyone, but it's just to bring knowledge and open your eyes as to what's going on. Deception, deceiving spirits. And we see so much of that going on. And then we say idolatry. Okay, idolatry, it could be idol images, things that you worship, shrines, anything like that, things you put before God. You say, well, I don't have any shrines in my home. I don't have any statues in my home that I worship. But you can be worshiping sports. For me, if you're caught up in sports and you would rather look at sports than pray, rather look at sports than read the word, that could be your idol. Women, I like to shop. I don't say love because when you love, that's putting something before God. Yeah, I like to shop, but if you putting that before God, when you should be spending time in the Word, when you should be praying, that can be an idol. Children, if you put secular artists up before God, you don't want to pray, you don't want to read, you worship these idols more than you worship God, that can be an idol. So now it's time to search our hearts. We really need to search our hearts. And I had some scriptures here when we were talking about witchcraft. It says 1 Samuel 15:23. It says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because you have rejected the word of the Lord. So, see, that is a strong rebuke there. You say rebellion. Yeah, God is saying rebellion. To him, rebellion is the same as witchcraft, because you can't be in perfect alignment with God's word and you're walking in rebellion. If God tells you something is a sin, it's a sin. Don't be rebellious against God. Don't, you know, I raised three children. My kids are grown now. But a lot of times, as a parent, when you tell them this is good for you, it's not that you don't want them to have fun or something like that, but it's telling them there are certain things that you just don't need to do. So when you say, well, I'm going to do it anyway, that's acting in rebellion. And this is how God said, if he say sin is sin, as witchcraft, is rebellion. So let's start searching our hearts and say, Lord, is there anything in me that's not like you? I want to take it out. I want to get it out. And then let's go over to Matthew. He said, you will know them by their fruit. And see, a lot of times we don't hear a lot of this in the churches because they teach now you just get saved and you can keep living in sin, you can keep living in idolatry. We don't care. Just go through the sinner's prayer and you're good to go. But I have to differ with that. That could be kind of shady. That can be on shaky ground. He says, search the scriptures. So by that, just start checking the scriptures out, checking what some of the preachers, some of the teachers are saying, because you have a lot of false teaching going on in the body of Christ. Okay, he said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. See, they appear to be glorious. I'm just here to help you, my children. Follow me. And then they're lying to you. You see what I'm saying? follow me, all is well. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Jeremiah says, the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. So they're speaking out of their own heart. This is not, God said, I haven't told you to say these things. You're not saying what I told you to say. You're saying what you want to say. You're lying. You're twisting my words to make them fit you. This is not what I'm telling you. The Lord is all through the Bible. He's telling us to flee from idol worship, flee from sin. And this is what we have to do. He said, 1 Timothy 6 and 5, he says, useless wranglings of men, of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is means of gain. For such withdraw yourself. So when they come into you teaching, well, the way to the Lord, you got to have this, and 10 steps to prosperity, and you can have this, you can live this way, and you can live that way. They don't mention sin. They just tell you, oh, you can just have it all. And God is saying, that's not my teaching. Run from it. He even say, run. He say, flee. Run. Withdraw yourself. Because you can tell what's comes out of a person's heart by what comes out of his mouth. If that's all they talk about, oh, you'll be so prosperous, you'll be this, you'll be that. God is saying, okay, what about your lifestyle? What about that? I would that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. So this is God's first mandate. He wants you to present your body living sacrifice. And then over in Peter, 1 Peter is 1:13 through 16, he says, living before God our Father. Therefore, gird up your loins of your mind. Be sober. Your rest, your hope, fully the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children. See, that's what I'm talking about when we was talking about rebellion. But God said, be obedient children, not conforming yourselves to former lust, as in your ignorance, but he who called you is holy. You also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. So God is saying, once we come into children of light, once we come in Jesus Christ and come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ, then we should walk as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to former lust, things that you used to do when you was in the world. We have to put that aside. And then a lot of times they say, well, you know, being a Christian, they don't want you to do anything. You can have a lot of fun. You just don't have to do it in sin. God has said, come out from among them. Be ye separated. I mean, I love to go on trips. I love to do a lot of things. God don't take your personality. He just wants you to live eyes separated from sin. And that's what we have to get back to. Be ye holy. He said, for I am holy. You probably ain't going to hear a lot of that. They're going to tell you how to get 10 steps to prosperity, but they ain't going to tell you how to be ye holy. God is calling for a holy people, a set-aside people. It's time out for a planned church. We need to be the church. We need to be an example of the church, because while we're planned church, Satan is coming in. He's creeping into our homes. He's creeping into our churches. He's bringing lies, and he's mixing the lies with the truth. And so he don't mind. He'll give you 9 parts truth and put in one lie to get you deceived. So that's why we have to be on guard, saints and listening audience. We have to be knowledgeable. We have to be sober. He says sober-minded. When you're sober, think of a drunkard. Those of you who God has delivered from drinking, when you would get drunk, I mean, you couldn't think in your right mind. You'd be staggering. You'd probably hang over, and you couldn't see straight. That's how. But he said, be sober-minded, so you can see, so you can think straight. You see what I'm saying? You can understand. You're not inhibited in your thinking. And so this is what God is telling us. Be sober. So that way, anything the enemy push our way, the Holy Spirit will be revealing it to us. He'll say, hey, look at that. Check that out. You see what I'm saying? Because your discernment, the Holy Spirit will open your discernment and you'll be able to see. You might start to look at a movie. Holy Spirit say, don't look at that. Don't do that. That's not good. And now you know, God, Halloween is coming up. They got all kinds of demonic movies coming out. And we are just so numb to it now as Christians. You know, we'll bring a chainsaw match here in our house. But you don't realize what's behind some of these movies. Some of them is made strictly by demons, people that are witches and things like that in Hollywood. They promote this stuff, and we, ignorant, bring it into our homes. We go to the movies, and we all call it entertainment. Oh, it's just fun. It's just fun and games. But God is calling for a holy people. God is calling the former, the things that we used to do. He says, put that aside. Call, come back to me. He's crying out to you with his heart. Come back to me. The day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Don't rationalize. Don't say, well, I'll just keep this little pet idol, but something you don't like, you could just discard that. No, God is saying, let's put it all out on the table. And if it's not pleasing to me, do away with it. You know, for some of us, if you're playing lottery, you know, that's how we take to church sometimes. We say, well, it's a lottery. I put my 10% in, and I should get 100% out. You see what I'm saying? But what is your motive for giving? Yes, God wants us to give, but it's not like a lottery where you just put your money in and you're going to hit big. We need to start saying, did you hit big in church today? Because that's what a lot of people go to church for. It's not because your heart is there. It's because it's routine or it's my religious duty. Now, God is saying, because when your heart is there, you're going to love me. You're going to worship me. You're not going to be caught up in the form of things. You're not going to be 1 minute you're in church. You know how we used to say part-time lover? 1 minute you're in church, the next minute you're out. Anything convenient, that's what you do. God is saying he wants your heart. He wants your heart. So this is why we have to get back to God. We have to humble ourselves before the Lord. We have to fall on our face and ask the Lord if there's anything in us that's not like him to purge it out of us. So I was just thinking, I said, well, Lord, I'm guilty. I used to like to play lottery tickets. And one day I was driving to work and the Lord convicted me. And he said, that's a spirit of greed. He said, I have nothing to do with that. And that convicted me some years ago. And from that time on, I repented of it. So that's what I'm saying. The devil is so subtle. He brings things in that you think is just harmless. Oh, this is just a dollar. I can play one ticket. It's just a dollar. But what's the motive behind you playing that? What's the motive behind the songs that you listen to? Is the songs catering to your flesh? Is it glorifying God? Think about it. Most of the songs you listen to on your radio stations is singing about flesh. Like he said, worldly lust. It's catering to your flesh. It's singing about getting those worldly desires stimulated. And that's what seduction means. Most of the songs is seduction. So we have to be on guard, saints. We have to be prayerful. We have to just let the world know, hey, I'm worshiping God. You know, I may not have a lot of friends, but I'm going to serve the true and holy God. And at that, I want to bring my husband on, but I do want to bring out again that we will have Brother John Ramirez on. I hope you enjoy, you know, my teachings. And like I said, I just want to shout out to our radio listening audience. I'm just so thankful that you tuned in with us tonight. And just like I said, every Thursdays and Fridays we will be on live, and we will have all in. So if you have prayer requests, if you want us to pray with you, or you just have a testimony, feel free to call in. So with that, I will take a quick break, and then the next voice you hear will be Minister Bobby.
Real Jesus. through the fire. I even feel the pain. I witness his power. Now I'm a witness of change. Now who I'm talking about? His name is Jesus. I ain't scared to say his name in my verse. He raised me up to hurt. The first shall be last. The last shall be first. When I was wilding in the mud, my spirit was dirt. And I was raised in the church and still strayed to the street.
Praise that audience. I'm sure that you truly enjoyed Sister Montgomery. She gave an excellent teaching on apostasy. And I'm just going to pick up where she left off talking about apostasy. We're going to bring out some more things in that regard. Now, I'm going to kind of bring out a little more on this area of deception and apostasy, because in these days that we're living in right now, there is so much falsehood going on, so much mixing of the gospel with, it's mixed with New Age, it's mixed with Taoism, it's mixed with so many different heathenistic religions that you have to be very careful, because God is not in the business of mixing heathenism with godliness. He doesn't do that. When that is done, what that actually does is dilutes the word. It puts in like a poison. You can poison somebody, give them a little bit of poison each day, a little bit each day, a little bit each day, and a little bit each day. And after a while, that person has passed away. It's not obvious that you give them a lot at one time. You give them a little bit, and you give them a little bit, and you give them a little bit. Well, that's what the enemy is doing. He's putting in a little bit of poison, a little bit of poison. You compromise a little bit here, you compromise a little bit there. You back up from the word a little bit here, you back up from the word a little bit there. And the next thing you know, you're completely out of the will of God. But it's because of the deception and the seduction that the enemy puts forth. It's just like a fisherman. When a fisherman goes fishing, he prepares his bait, he gets his line ready, he gets the reel ready, and that particular fish that he's fishing for might not be ready to bite, but that fisherman will throw that line out there and throw that bait out there, and he'll entice that fish. He'll wiggle the bait, he'll jerk it around a little bit, gets the fish attention, and when the fish bite the bait, he doesn't see the hook until it's too late. And the fisherman sets the hook, reels the fish in. That's what the enemy does. He'll throw that bait out there, he won't show you the hook. He will not show you the poison. He will not show you that this thing will destroy you. And before you know it, you're hooked and you're being destroyed and you're not even aware of it until God touches your mind. Now, I'm going to go into some things in reference to this seduction and this deception. I'm coming out of 1 Timothy 4:1, coming with some familiar, but we want to try to bring some things out to you to try to enlighten your mind a little bit, because the enemy is so slick and subtle that he will pull the wool over your eyes if you're not aware of what he's doing. Remember, he is a liar. He is subtle. He's tricky. And he doesn't play fair. He's a very dirty fighter. So he's not going to play fair. The enemy does not play fair. That's why he's such a deceiver. That's why he works in deception. And he's such a seductress that he uses anything he can to destroy. And he absolutely loves to twist the Bible, twist the word to trick you. That's how he tricked Adam and Eve through the word. He couldn't do that with Jesus, because Jesus was the word. And the Lord put that word back on him, and he had to run. And that's the same thing we have to do. But 1 Timothy 4:1-5 reads, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times," the times that we're in right now. Now, Paul spoke this some 1,400 years ago. He spoke this. And now we're in that time where it says, "In the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Now, when you say departing from the faith, it's obvious. He's talking about God and Christ. He's talking about the belief, the teachings, and the word of God through Christ. They shall depart from that, and they will give themselves over to seducing spirits, spirits that take the word, twist it, make it sound so good to the ear, make it sound so good to the flesh, put that little bit of poison up in it. But he won't reveal to you that it's a doctrine of the devil. Why is it a doctrine of the devil? Because it pulls you away from the truth of God's word. That's what's happening now. Now, and then it says, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with hot iron. In other words, these people that do these things, they're hypocrites, and their conscience is seared with hot iron, meaning that they are morally defunct. In other words, their morals is gone. They're crooked. They're evil. They'll say anything and do anything to get what they want from you. They're not interested in you receiving from God what you should receive from God. They're not interested in you living the way you should live for God. They're only interested in what they can get from you. Remember, they're liars, and their conscience is not right. Their mind is not right. So what they do, they use the word to put forth their lies to get what they want from you. And that's just it. They care not about you, and they're only interested in what they can get from themselves. Now, for themselves. They said, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Now, what they're talking about here is, as people that use marriage, food, things of that nature, and they use it in a way that would separate them from God. In other words, they use it like a religion. They make a religion out of it. They make a religion out of it. Forbidden to marry. Well, you can't. If you want to be a priest or a preacher, you want to run a church, then you can't marry. No. That's not the will of God. Matter of fact, Paul said in one instance that it's better to marry than to burn. If you are not a celibate, if you haven't been given the gift of celibacy, then you need to marry. Well, rather than being subject and being tempted to be an adulterer or fornicator, you need to marry. Then you don't have to deal with any of that. Now, what I'm going to do, but all this is in reference to deception, so we have to be very careful in the way we live our lives and the way we speak and what we listen to. We have to be very careful because the enemy desires to deceive us, and many times he'll deceive us in what we're trying to learn. You know, you don't want to get into an area whereas you want such deep knowledge, or you want to go so deep in the word that depth takes you away from the basic principles of serving the Lord. If you don't want that, then you start falling into Gnosticism or some other false religion, because you start getting your mind off of the word of God, and you start getting into some things that's pulling you and separating you from God. Now I'm going to read some other scriptures to you, and then we'll be open the phone lines, or we'll just go out however the Lord leads us. Now I'm going to Matthew 15, and I'm going to read some verses to you. Now, 15 and 3 says, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and the scribes, and, you know, the scribes and Pharisees was getting on Jesus' disciples about the washing of the hands, why your disciples don't wash their hands before they eat and all this kind of stuff like that. And Jesus said to him, and he answered and said, "Then why do you also transgress the commandments of God by your tradition?" We have to be careful that we don't allow our traditions or our mindsets of what we think is right in reference to God, what we think is right. Notice I said what we think, what man's thought processes is to right and wrong when it comes to God. Because what the Lord says, our righteousness is as filthy rags to God. We can't be righteous in the eyesight of God unless we accept God in our life, then and Christ in our life. Then what we do, we take on the righteousness of God in Christ, and we are righteous, but it's not by our righteousness. When we start getting into our righteousness, then we'll start getting into all types of tradition and all types of error, because man he's an erroneous being. Now, for God commanded, saying, "Honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die to death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." The commandments of men. Now, what the Lord was talking about, when he came down a little later, he explained it to his disciples. And the disciples came to him after Jesus said that, and he said, "Hey, Jesus, you know, y'all, you kind of went against the scribes and the Pharisees. You offended them, Lord, you know." And that's what they said. And the Lord told them this. He told them, he said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." But Jesus really brought it out, what the difference between the commandments of men and the commandments of God. Now, Jesus also said, "Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught?" I mean, it's not about eating or drinking, but it is about the things that proceed out of the mouth, which come forth from the heart. What you speak comes out of your heart. That's why we have to be so careful on what we listen to and what we say, because that is a mirror image of who we really are. It says, "For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defiles not a man." So Jesus brought out the in reference to the kingdom of God, what he looked at as God's commandments. And God's commandments is not to be a murderer, not to be an adulterer, not to be a fornicator, not to steal, be a false witness, not to do those things. But, you know, things such as eating, what you eat, what you drink, what you might wear. Now, I'm not talking about drinking strong beverages and going out and getting drunk. And I'm not talking about eating something that you know is going to hurt you or kill you. We're not talking about that. We're talking about regular food. The washing of the hands, all these different little traditions like that, that people is get hung up over. The Lord is not concerned with that at all. What he's concerned about is living a righteous life in Christ and not going back into the world and not receiving the lies of all these false prophets, false teachers, and apostate and heretical people that's teaching things that's contrary to the word of God. That's why we have to stay in the word. We have to stay prayed up. We have to allow the Lord to move in us in the realm of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. so that we won't be deceived. Now, I'm going to read a few more things to you, then we're going to wrap it up. Galatians 3 and 1, it reads, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Or are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? See, we can't come to God in the Spirit, accepting the Lord in the Spirit, going on in the doctrine of Jesus Christ, and then flip over and start running off in the flesh, doing what you used to do, contrary to the will of God. You can't do that. The Bible says that's foolish. God is not pleased with that, and he doesn't want us to be that way. But that is the kind of thing that a false prophet would tell you. You'd tell, oh, you don't have to worry about that. Just do this thing. If you just do this and do that, you know, you give me this and you say that and you do this and you do that, you'll be all right. You don't have to live right. That's false. That's false. That's false. It says, have you suffered so many things in vain? And if it be yet in vain, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? We have to operate in faith. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham? And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things which are written in the books of the law to do them. It says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. We live by faith, not by sight, not by the law, not by various traditions of men. All our hope, all our strength, all our knowledge and ability should be in Jesus Christ. When somebody teaches something contrary to that, contrary to the word of God in action or in deed, we need to go the other way. Now, I'm going to read bring out a few more things to you. But remember, we're talking about apostasy. We're talking about false doctrine. We're talking about seduction. Seduction and deception is a thing that it creeps up on you. It's kind of like a snake. You know, a snake, before you know it, you could be out in the woods doing some things and you're minding your own business and you look around and the snake is there. You don't even realize that he's been creeping up on you for some time. You're just now seeing him. But depending on the type of snake that is, if it's a poisonous snake, he could bite you before you know what's going on. Good. But he's been creeping up on you for a good while, but you didn't know it. That's how the enemy does. He'll creep up on you for a good while. He's watching you. He's studying you. He's feeding you poison. He's feeding you false words, false doctrine. And you have to be able to discern that. Now, I'm going to read some things to you right here. It says, now, we have to be able to discern erroneous teaching from the true gospel of Jesus Christ. We have to be able to discern that. The only way you can discern that is by the Spirit, because our inheritance is eternal life. It's not hell. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't die on the cross for us to be lost. Okay. Now, Romans 8:16-17 reads, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." All right, now that's Romans 8 and 16. So we have a direct relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, if we go through some things down here on earth, we're going to be rewarded in that we're going to be glorified in him later on. And then God is going to bless us with some things down here on earth too, but we shouldn't just seek the things. We should not put anything before the Lord, especially in these days and times. We need to seek him as never before. In the times that we're living in perilous times, and we need to watch ourselves. We need to be in the Word as never before. We need to be praying and fasting and living all we know how for the Lord, because none of us knows how much time we have on this earth. Now there are some guidelines that we need to consider when we're distinguishing the difference between biblical error and truth. Now, one thing we need to recognize is whatever we're listening to, if it's supposed to be gospel, if it's supposed to be something of a religious nature, or if it's supposed to be something that is going to lead us to God, we need to ask ourselves this question: does this teaching say that salvation is found only in Jesus Christ? Now, you got a lot of beliefs out there and that says that there's many paths to God. You can get to God, or you can get to heaven, or you can get to the kingdom of God. All these different ways. You can get to him through various religions, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, New Age, Taoism, all kind of different religions. But that's not what the Bible says. That's what Jesus says. See, we're inundated with teachings of all types of gods and prophets. All of them are supposed to find truth and salvation. I mean, they even talk about serving goddesses and gods and a deification of worship. I mean, anything other than God the Father, His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. But that's not the true gospel. I'm going to read something to you. Acts 4:10-12 reads, "Let it be known to you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone." Then he reads, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." That's the only way you can be saved, is through Jesus Christ, regardless of what you might hear out there in the world. Now, another thing we have to consider, does the teaching, well, let me read something else to you. I'm gonna bring it out to you very well, as well as I can. Jeremiah 10:11-12 reads, "Thus you shall say to them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. He has made the earth by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom and has stretched out the heavens at his discretion." We're talking about the Lord. We're talking about God and Christ. Okay. It says, yes, and Matthew 24:4-5 reads, "And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many." You see? So you got people running around spreading heresies, lies, trying to draw people to them for their own works, or for what they're trying to do, whatever, to deceive you. And deception, when it comes to the things of God, will leave you, will lead you to destruction. Now, does the teaching affirm that Jesus was born of a virgin, led a sinless life, died for our sins, and was physically resurrected? Now, some people, there are some beliefs that say that that the Lord Jesus Christ was just a man, and he did things that weren't quite right. You got people out there that says things like that. But that's false. That's false. Is there any teaching that contradicts one biblical doctrine is an erroneous gospel, and we shouldn't listen to it. But now Isaiah 7 and 14 brings that out a little bit. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now this was prophesied hundreds of years before Jesus was born. But he was born the exact same way as was prophesied through a virgin, the Virgin Mary. Hebrews 4 and 15 reads this way: For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus was a man, but Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus was not a man like what we are, subject to sin. Jesus did not sin at all. He did not sin at all. He was tempted, but he didn't sin. That's why he is our Savior. That's why he was able to be that supreme sacrifice us, that we might be saved, because there was no sin in him. So if anybody comes around talking about, well, you know, Jesus, he was just a man, and, you know, he did some stuff that wasn't quite, hey, forget that. It's a lie. And the reason I'm talking like this is because some people say that he was just a good teacher. He was just a prophet. He was just a man. No, he wasn't just a man. He was the Son of God. He was the Son of God, the Son of God incarnate, the Word of God incarnate. Okay. It says, I'm going to read this right quick here. John 4, 1 John 4, familiar scripture, 4:1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. All right. Now, that explains it right there. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ come in the flesh, then you are of an antichrist spirit. Because the Spirit of God will tell you, and the Word of God tells you, that Jesus Christ actually was born. He walked on the earth. He died up on a cross or a tree, was buried and resurrected on the third day, and that we might have eternal life. Now he's sitting on the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, and he has sent the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, back to guide us and teach us and help us in this way. Okay. Now, it says, does the teaching deny the reality of the physical body of man or the eternal spirit of man? Now, if you got that going on, you're going to have to watch it. Now, Thessalonians 5 and 23. Okay, it says, Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have to consider what's being said. We have to go through and test the spirits, not only by the Spirit, but by the Word of God. Is it consistent with what the Word of God is saying. You can go to 2 Corinthians 5:1, Matthew 25:31-46, and Mark 16:16. Now, here's the key. You hear all these people running around saying the Lord Jesus coming back in October 24th or December the 15th, or they've made so many different prophecies on when the Lord is coming back. Nobody knows. Jesus told us that no man will know the day or the hour when he's coming back. So we have to disregard all of that. And when people say things like that, then you know that there's some apostasy going on, heresy is going on, and it's false. It's just false, and we don't even need to deal with that. But the reason we're talking the way we're talking, because there's so many people that's trying to put that falsehood out like it's truth. They're mixing everything with the Word of God. And that's basically where we are at this time. We have to be careful. And one of the reasons why we really need to step up and really concentrate ourselves more to God and really get more into the Word of God and really fast and pray is because the enemy has really stepped up his attacks. He has really stepped up his attacks against God's people. The enemy is not, he's pulling out his big guns. And since the enemy is pulling out his big guns, we need to fall more and more on the things of God, in the things of God, lean more and more on Jesus Christ, lean more and more on in and on the Spirit, so that we can receive what we need to effectively fight the enemy. And if we are taking in and receiving half-truths, heresies, and apostasies from the enemy, we cannot effectively fight him. So now, at this point in time, we're going to go to a short break, and then we're gonna come back with a little more truth. All right, praise the Lord.
Jesus paid the price when he died on the cross to have a plan for our life to have a relief.
tribulation with Christ to go to heaven, not hell, where the enemy do.
Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters in Christ. We just wanted to try to bring out a few more things, and then we're going to attempt to open up the lines. Say, someone asked a question in reference to apostasy and heresy. Now, apostasy, really from the Webster's Dictionary, and as you know, Webster got a lot of his meanings directly from the Lord. They say apostasy means an abandoning of what one has believed in as faith or cause. That's apostasy. That's a person guilty of apostasy. Apostasy, apostate, is the abandoning of what one has believed in as a faith or cause, or denying the Lord, not believing in Christ Jesus, or turning away from Christ Jesus, basically is what that's saying. To fall away from the Lord. And to be a heretic or believe in heresy, heresy means a religious belief opposed to the orthodox doctrines of a church or the Christian doctrine. You're opposed to the Christian doctrine. When we say Christian doctrine, we're talking about the doctrine or the teaching of Jesus Christ. That's heresy. All right. Praise the Lord. Basically, at this point in time, is there any questions that might be out? We're going to open up the phone lines, and if anybody desires to call, they can call in at 323-375-0849. That is 323-375-0849. If anyone desires to call in, they can call in at that time, and we will do our best to answer your questions and help you as much as we can. If you desire prayer, you can call in for prayer also. Praise the Lord.
Again, I just want to reiterate that on October 7th, we will have Brother John Ramirez on the air, and he will be bringing his live testimony on how the power of God delivered him. He was in a life of spiritual darkness, and the power of God delivered him of 25 years. So I am looking forward to hearing Brother Ramirez speak on that. And if there is no, do we have anyone that would like to call in? All right. So at this time, we're going to close out the program. And we want to, again, thank you for listening. And we just want to close out with a word of prayer. And like I said, we will be on again tomorrow. We will be bringing a live testimony of an ex-witch. It's just a short little video. Well, not a video, but an audio. She giving her testimony. And it's really to reiterate what we're said, how a lot of the witchcraft has crept into the church. And it's been intertwined into Christianity. So be sure to listen to that tomorrow. So now we're just closing out our program, and we just want to thank all of our listening audience for joining us tonight, and we hope you have a blessed night. Father God, we just thank you for gathering us here on this night of worship, and we just ask that what was said, that it will go into good ground, that it will bless your people, that their eyes will be open, Lord, and we come against any spirits of deception that will try to blind and hinder your people. And Lord God, we just lift your people up to you, and we ask that you bless them, and we just thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Have a blessed night. Good night.
I'm in pursuit of the Lord, I'm in pursuit.
no fear in my eyes, I stand bold, I'm not ashamed. I've been through the fire, I even feel the pain. I witness his power, now I'm a witness of change. Now who I'm talking about? His name is Jesus. I ain't scared to say his name in my verse. He raised me up to hurt. The first shall be last, the last shall be first. When I was wilding in the mud, my spirit was dirt. And I was raised in the church and still strayed to the streets. Flirting with this sin got me laying between the sheets. Then death was conceived, my heart got deceived. So I'm looking for a way to sell crack to the fiends.
I'm in pursuit of the Lord, I'm in pursuit. In my mind, in pursuit of lost souls.
Front line.